Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I was listening to the radio the other day. This is after I spoke about my episode with the bat. Turned on Chicago's Afternoon News with Steve Bertrand and heard this.
It's Chicago's Afternoon News on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. All right, I was driving around this morning. I think I was going to my health club, and John Williams was talking about how he had a bat in one of his bathrooms of his house. Did you hear it?
I had an ice scraper, and I had a styrofoam cooler. So that's just getting a little close and personal to the thing. But if I'd had a, I probably should get a butterfly net for this very purpose. So I go up, I tippy-toe up to the window well, or to the door well. The door's open in the bathroom there, and he's just standing up there minding his own business. Might have been a she, not real sure how these things work with bats. So he's hanging there upside down, and I don't know if this bat is awake or not, but I get the ice scraper, and I just kind of get it right there and flick it. And the plan was for it to then drop into the styrofoam cooler. And that's about what happened. But in the process, the bat spread its wings as if it were going to save a damsel in distress or signal to the city that all is safe. And it was at that point that I realized this is not a small bat. This is a mid-sized bat, maybe a 40 long, if you will. And I thought, wow. So he kind of floated down into the cooler, and then I snapped the lid on. But it just seems so ad hoc, and I thought, like anything, there's probably a better way to do it if I only knew it.
I'm not kidding you. I would have given a month's salary if I could have just been standing behind him about the time he touched the bat.
Yeah, you would have overpaid, Steve, but I get the point. And so then Steve was going to put a guest on and talk about, you know, how do you eradicate a bat? But the conversation became about whether or not you should seek medical attention. Dr. Kevin Most, it's not why we normally ask you to come on the show, but would you talk to me about this for just a minute? How are you?
I'm good, John. How about yourself?
I'm fine. But I know so many people who've had the very same set of circumstances and haven't done what everybody was saying I should do, including Steve's guest. And that's somebody who deals with wildlife. They said I should get the series of six shots.
Yeah, so this one that's not as clear cut. One of the things I would say is what you did, I wouldn't recommend. You know, it's probably better to get a professional to come and get the bat once you've enclosed it in a room. Now, that being said, you know, if the bat was only in the bathroom and you did not have any overnight exposure to that bat, then I wouldn't be overly concerned. But it's one of those really iffy ones just because the disease is so bad. So someone who has direct contact, they were bitten by a bat, they were scratched by a bat, they came in direct contact and touched a bat, you know, those are the ones that were saying, you know what, boy, it's better to get the shots than the disease, because the disease is almost always fatal.
Really? Rabies? Yep. Rabies is fatal.
Rabies is almost exclusively fatal.
Wow.
About 60,000 deaths a year from rabies.
Seriously?
Now, in the United States, we haven't had, you know, 30 in 10 years. So, you know, we eradicated rabies in dogs pretty much, and now it's just in wild animals. And even like the rabies, you know, in bats, everyone thinks every bat is rabid, when in fact it's only about, you know, 2 to 5% of them are.
Well, there's that. So the concern was then, some people are saying a bat is, I don't know, light or deft enough that it will actually be upon you and you won't know it. And if at night, and trust me, I would know it, but they say if you slept in a room with the bat, you don't know where it was or where you was, and therein lies the red flag. Well, it was in another doorway from my bedroom, so I don't think we shared a room, but I was asleep at night, you know, so there's the conundrum.
It is, and it is a conundrum. You know, if you're a real sound sleeper, if you have any other cognitive issues where you wouldn't remember something like that, those are the ones that were on the fence. And now, we all remember growing up, oh, I'm bats, you know, rabies, you got to get 21 shots in your stomach, and that, you know, those days are gone. You know, now we have a vaccine that is now down to 4 shots, 2 weeks apart. And individuals that actually have been bitten or have come in contact, we have rabies immune globulin as well, which is something we give immediately in to bridge over until the vaccine actually works. So this is one where, depending on the risk of the exposure as well as the anxiety of the individual, that's how the decision is often made as to treat or not treat.
Doctor, I need to play a commercial. If you had another minute, I'd ask you a little bit more about COVID-19 and what we're going to do in Chicago now. Do you have another minute for us?
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
I always appreciate your patience. He's busy. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. And by the way, if Bob Surratt gets into erecting statues or naming streets after famous Chicagoans, I want to be there when they erect a statue or a street sign in your honor, Kevin Most.
Yeah, John, if that happens, it'll probably be an alley at best, right?
I think it might be a major thoroughfare. You've really been helpful to a lot of us in the last couple of years, as you were prior to the pandemic as well. You've been a mainstay on this station for a long time. Thank you for all that. So I presume you're on board with the plan in Chicago to go masked back up, right?
Yeah, I am. You know, it's unfortunate, but when we see that positivity rate in the city creeping up to 5% again, you know, from a low of, what, 1.5%, very concerning, especially with the Delta variant. And, you know, as we're speaking right now, the announcement will be coming out about boosters, CDC and the FDA with their joint statement. So the combination of the boosters and the masks, we're going to be doing everything we can again to slow this train down one more time.
I heard Steve ask the question. I wasn't around for the answer on the afternoon news yesterday. If I have been vaccinated fully, what is the probability that I will get the Delta variant? What is the percent chance?
Yeah. So, you know, we used to say at the beginning, these both vaccines, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, they were all these, well, Moderna and Pfizer were at 95% effective rates. Well, what we're seeing now is two things. One, it's not as effective against the Delta, and as we have learned, as time goes on, the antibody response is waning. So that's why we're going to get the booster for both those reasons. One, we need the initial protection, additional protection against Delta. And two, we're seeing that immune response decreasing. So as far as the Delta, when we're looking at breakthrough cases, the tough thing is, John, we don't know of all of them. In other words, I have a little bit of a cold today. Do I have COVID because my immune system is good enough that I'm not very sick, but yet I still have it? So we don't have the answer to that. All we can tell you is that we're still very protective against hospitalizations and severe illness. But as far as how many people have been vaccinated and are getting asymptomatic or mildly symptomatic breakthrough cases, we don't have any data. We can't capture it.
I presume we will, though. We will have something to go on at some point, at least the reported cases, right?
Correct. Absolutely. It will all be on reported cases. And now it's going to get back to doing a lot more testing. So if you've looked, the testing numbers have really ramped up. So now in the emergency rooms, we're testing a lot more. Doctors' offices, people are stepping up to be tested because they have symptoms. And it's getting a little cloudy because we're starting to see more of the common cold back. We're seeing RSV. We'll start to see influenza. So this is going to be kind of a little bit of a mess this fall.
I think it's also complicated for people. There's been the story, it's got over 1 million views online, of a doctor in Indiana that spoke at a school board meeting, and there are people in positions of authority, doctors, let's just keep it to doctors right now, and they are saying things contrary to what you've been preaching here on the station. And then people latch on to that as a "see, I told you so." Any advice for us on how to sort conflicting medical information?
Well, if you haven't seen the video, one thing I'll say is the gentleman's a tremendous speaker. He speaks with a voice of authority. The difficult part I have is when he says, and I have these studies that show this, and we have studies that show this. Well, those studies don't exist. So I would love to see what he had presented here as far as studies. I'm following the basic science and the basic math. You know, when individuals say the vaccine doesn't work or the vaccine's not needed, and I say, well, why then is every person in the hospital unvaccinated and we're not seeing vaccinated people getting sick? When we're looking at the number of deaths decreasing, we're looking at a lot of math is going to tell you that the vaccine works, and it's true. For him to say, well, this is why it's not ever going to be eradicated, you know, a lot of his statements, some of his statements were true, taken to an extreme, but for the most part, what he was preaching certainly is going to do more of a disservice to the state of Indiana than it is a service.
Is this statement true? If I've been vaccinated, maybe I'll get a breakthrough case, but it's probably not going to be as bad, and I probably won't be that infectious.
100%. Well, let me take that back, because you threw in that last word right there. The bad thing is what we have found right now is that even vaccinated people will still carry a very high viral load and will be infectious, in other words, able to infect other people. They may not show much in symptoms. In other words, the body's immune response is going to keep that from going to the lungs and from going to the brain and from doing all those bad things it does with unvaccinated people. But the virus still has an ability to replicate in the back of the throat and in the back of the nose and makes you still infectious, although not symptomatic with infection.
Is something along these lines true, that the vaccines we're getting are not biological? So the concern that you're introducing some organism into your body that might affect you later or your unborn children later is not even probable. It's not an organic substance. It won't live there. Is that true?
Well, for the most part, yes. If you look at the Pfizer and Moderna, if you look at Johnson & Johnson, Johnson & Johnson, the reason that they were lagging when they rolled out is they went with our traditional way of making a vaccine. So they had an attenuated adenovirus. So they gave you actually a benign virus is what they gave you to stimulate the immune system there. But even those, we have known that they have worked forever. I mean, even look at, you know, how we treat people with flu vaccines with the flu mist. We're giving them the ones, the nasal spray, they're getting a weakened virus. Now, that is not going to do any harm to anybody, to any fetuses, to anything in the future. So sad that we're still kind of arguing whether this vaccine works or whether it's safe.
I guess so. I mean, this is a self-inflicted injury that Chicago and Illinois are now going to go through, would you say?
Yeah, it is. I think, you know, had our vaccination rates, instead of being at 55-54%, been at 75% or 80%, we'd still have some lingering illness, but we certainly wouldn't be seeing the ramp up that we have right now. And the concern now is we're coming into the fall, you're going to be at Thanksgiving, we're going to see a lot more travel. People are coming back from Florida from their vacations and from the South, and schools are going back in session. So we've kind of have missed our opportunity to hit our vaccine peak had we continued on the same trajectory in June as we were in April and May.
One last thing, I'll ask you more about this in coming months then, but if I'm at a family gathering, I guess it would be wise to make sure at Thanksgiving or whatever that everybody's been vaccinated or masked and maybe even segregated. I don't know. Do you have any advice along those lines?
No, I would. I think as we get closer here, we're going to have a lot more ideas. Yet it will be, hey, did you get the booster? And are you fully vaccinated? Because by that time, we will have been at that position. Because some people are going to say, you know what, my arm got sore, I don't want to get the booster. But we know that protection is going to be there. And certainly unvaccinated people in a setting like that, two things happen. One, we know that even though we're vaccinated, we may be able to spread it to this individual. And two, they're more prone to bring the illness into the home as well.
Kevin Most, the statue's being cast, and I'll keep you posted on when it goes up. The chief medical officer at Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Thanks, Kevin.
Take care, John. We'll talk soon.
You'll hear him Sunday morning, too, in the ongoing series of reports he provides for us at WGN when he visits with Dean Richards.